16 minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930. WEOL, Andy Bulbarch, joined alongside Matt Douglas. You've got us until 6 o'clock tonight. Busy week lined up, 3 to 6 tomorrow as well, leading you into Buckeye Roundtable, 3 to 5:30 on Thursday with the Urban Meyer Show coming your way, and that'll be followed by our first high school football matchup of the week on Thursday night. Lorraine travels to Maple Heights, and then, of course, Matt and I are on 3 to 5, leading you into a full load of Friday night high school football with a trio of games to bring you, and we'll dive into those a little bit later on. But we need to get to the hotline right now because Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette joins us right now on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. It's right across from the hospital in Elyria. It's on Broad Street. It's a trusted name in jewelry. And when you go to Vandermark Jewelers, I know personally that you will have an outstanding experience. As Jim Vandermark always tells us, you know, when folks walk into their showroom there, and normally they're in a pretty good mood. And I can promise you, if you're not in a good mood when you walk into Vandermark Jewelers, well, you're probably in a pretty tough spot to begin with, but you'll walk out of there with a smile on your face, and you'll walk away with something pretty special. Lisa, a pleasure to have you on as always. How are you?
I am doing well this beautiful, beautiful fall day.
Yeah, a little bit different for us. Early October, we're not used to 80 degrees, and it sounds like we're going to get another one tomorrow. So you've got to take these while you can get these, because these might be the final 80-degree days we get until we get into April. So we'll enjoy them while we still have them. Lisa, want to lead off with some issues that are going to be on the November ballot. And if we're in November and we're still seeing 80 degrees, then something has probably gone horribly wrong. But, you know, we probably still take that. But I want to focus on a few issues that will be on that November ballot, issues 1, 6, and 25. Let's start with issue 1. For those that aren't completely familiar with what's on issue 1, what all is involved here?
Okay, now this is a perfect time to start talking about the issues, because tomorrow early absentee voting starts. And so everyone will see this issue on their ballot. Issue 1 is the only statewide issue on the November ballot. And if it passes, it's a constitutional amendment that would reduce penalties for people who have possession of small amounts of drugs, including cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. And they would make it from a low-level felonies into misdemeanors. And those who are convicted could not be sentenced to jail. This is an attempt to encourage a shift from offenders going to jail and to going into treatment. There's been a lot of talk about this issue because there's a lot of proponents to it and there's a lot of opponents to it. The biggest opponents are people in law enforcement, the court system, people who are actually in treatment, who they feel like that's something that should go into the state's constitution, and it ties the hands of those who are working on the ground to kind of treat, prevent, and educate people on the dangers of these drugs. And so a lot of the people who, especially people who run, like, you know, the county's recovery court, said that the changes that this legislation would produce would not be beneficial for our communities.
And it picked up some publicity a little bit last week as well. You mentioned those for it and those against it. I want to talk about issue 6 now. And I believe, you know, what we're going to discuss here talks about just an extension of a levy that would certainly benefit the Elyria schools. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but this isn't going to increase taxes, correct? This is just an extension of issue 6?
You're correct. This is a renewal for the Elyria schools. This is the same renewal that's been on the books since 1999. Now, this is a little strange because we're saying issue 6. And for the last few years, we've said issue 6. And every time we've uttered issue 6, we've been talking about a city issue. But this is just the number that's on the ballot, issue 6, for the schools this year. This has nothing to do with the city's taxes that they passed a few years ago. And all of the school taxes funds are not commingled in any way with city funding. So this is directly for Elyria schools. And speaking with Amy Higgins, who's the district spokesperson today, she said this is about teachers, textbooks, technology. This is pays for the day-to-day operating expenses that directly impacts kids in the district.
So, yes, it allows Elyria schools to kind of keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. No question about that. And, you know, speaking of issue 6, you're right, because there are so many different facets to it. If you've driven down Bridge Street within the last 2 weeks, you've certainly seen and experienced some of issue 6's funds at work. And as a guy who drives on Bridge Street every single day, I certainly appreciate all the work that they're doing out there, because let's just say it's been a much smoother ride into the office. We'll focus on one more issue before we move on to a couple of other things here as well. But 25 talks about some parameters that are somewhat similar with the city's tax renewal on the November ballot. I mean, this generates a healthy chunk of change each year from what it sounds like. And this also is just an extension, correct?
Yes, this is a 0.5% income tax renewal that puts roughly $6.4 million into the city general fund each year. It's been on the books for the city of Elyria since the early 1980s. So we're 30-plus years that residents have been voting to renew this issue. It's a sizable chunk of the city's, you know, almost $30 million annual general fund. And if they lost that revenue, it would kind of devastate city services, because you're talking about this pays for, you know, several full-time employees. You're talking police and fire, streets, leaf collection, all of the things that happen to make a city run. And so without this renewal, you know, it would be devastating for the city.
Yeah, no question about that. Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandemar Jewelers. Well, some exciting times here in Elyria. Anytime a new business comes into play, it's always very exciting. And tomorrow, you know, we get that Courtyard by Marriott to open up. It's right by Midway Mall, and it sounds like there are going to be a lot of really cool new amenities in this hotel. Sounds like it should be a pretty nice addition to that area.
Yes, I think it'll be a great addition to the area. When you're talking about hotels, there's this kind of this population that likes to go to hotels and kind of socialize and mingle, as well as stay there for any kind of travel needs. And this Courtyard and Marriott will be a combination of both. You can go there, of course. You have typical hotel amenities. You're talking 104 rooms. They have an indoor swimming pool, a spa, a fitness, a conference room, all the necessities that you need when you're staying there. But then they also have like a restaurant there. They're serving Starbucks coffee. They have a lobby that's kind of conducive to a little bit more mingling. There's televisions down there. They want people to be there and socialize in the space.
Is that seen as sort of a good thing for business in the future? I mean, it seems when people travel, they like some of those luxury areas.
Yes, and I've been told that there has been a deficiency of luxury hotels in our area. When you think about Elyria, people have to understand Elyria is still the home of a lot of, you know, major corporations. You know, Bendix is still here. Invacare is here. You have Riddell is here. There's a lot of companies that are still bringing in some of, you know, their colleagues that they need places for them to stay. You know, you have Poly One that's nearby in Avon, so you may not be able to have places for them to stay. They may be able to stay in Elyria. Elyria is also centrally located to places like Sandusky when people are going to Cedar Point and they need places to stay. So it's just this area that needs this new mix of hotel space.
Well, and what's interesting too, just kind of reading up on some of the amenities, you know, in the lobby, one of the cool things here is that air travelers can print out their boarding passes at a nearby kiosk. That's pretty cool. They've got a digital go-board touchscreen TV. And perhaps the most intriguing of all this, and I don't know if this is the direction we're headed in the future with some of these hotels, but apparently instead of using, you know, the old school keys, I'm not sure who uses those anymore, or the key cards, which we've kind of grown accustomed to, apparently guests can actually use their smartphones to open up their rooms once their registration is complete. To me, that's pretty fascinating, because I can't tell you how many times I've gone up to my room and that key card, for whatever reason, really doesn't work. But it's fascinating to read through the details of this new hotel, because you get the impression, Lisa, that other hotels are certainly going to have to step their game up a little bit.
Yes, you know, we had the Hampton Inn, and now we have this Courtyard and Marriott. So there's a lot of new properties that are opening up, and they're seeing Elyria as a viable market. You know, the nearest other Marriott property in Lorain County is the Fairfield Inn and Suites in Avon. So, you know, Marriott is really trying to come into our area and see what they can offer people with this Courtyard.
And you have to think that they're going to benefit as well with that location, with folks coming off the turnpike as well. That is an outstanding location for this brand new hotel. Certainly looking forward to that as well. Well, if you've been walking around downtown Elyria and you pass by the First Congregational United Church of Christ, I walked by it earlier today just doing a couple of laps in and around the station, you'll come across what is described as Homeless Jesus. And it's basically on a bench just outside the very front of the building. How did this come to, and how did Homeless Jesus make its way to Elyria?
Well, Homeless Jesus is a sculpture that, you know, it's a figure, a life-size figurine of Jesus that's kind of curled up on a park bench, sleeping in the elements under a blanket. The only thing that's visible under this blanket is his bare feet. When you're talking, you know, the scars of his feet, if you believe the crucifixion of Jesus, and you understand what I'm talking about. And so the sculpture named Homeless Jesus is owned by the Community West Foundation in Westlake, which is a faith-based organization that supports several agencies in Lorain County. And they wanted to bring this sculpture here. It's kind of a traveling exhibit. It will be on display until November the 5th. And it's meant to be this provocative piece to kind of get people thinking about, you know, how they, you know, we're the homeless among us and how they're treating the homeless. If you know anything about First Congregational United Church of Christ, each year they have some of their teens. They will sleep outside in front of the church to experience a night of what it's like to be homeless. And sometimes they choose the colder winter months so that they can actually understand what it's like to be in those elements. And so this is an opportunity to just further that message of kind of thinking about the homeless that are among us.
Very good stuff. Well, Lisa, we're going to save this for next week, but there is a story I was reading earlier today in the Medina Gazette about a gentleman who has been described as 80s guy. There's not enough time left in our interview today to do this, but I'm going to save that for next week because I read that today and I thought that was fantastic. I just, the whole backstory was awesome, but we'll save that for next week. Lisa,
I can't wait. That's one of my favorite stories, so I can't wait to talk about it.
It was fantastic. I loved it. The pictures were great. The video was great, so I look forward to discussing that next week. Lisa, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Thank you. See you guys then.
Thank you again. Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette joining us on our Local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street in Elyria. We spoke with Jim last week when we were at our spotlight on Avon Lake, when we were at John Christ Winery, and he was telling us that we are getting awfully close to Sweetest Day, the phases of the moon.
That's right.
Can certainly keep you from having to sleep outside and stare at the moon, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's actually pretty cool what they were saying. They're able to somehow capture what the moon looked like on that particular day and incorporate it into the jewelry. It's pretty awesome.
Don't forget about Sweetest Day, because if you do, you could get in the doghouse pretty quickly. Jim Vandermark and Company, they can make sure you stay out of the doghouse. Make sure you pay Jim Vandermark a visit down at Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street, right across from the hospital here in Elyria. We need to get to a break. In a few minutes, Matt Douglas will tell us what's going on in the local news, and then Tom Stubert, CEO of the Lakota Way, joins us at 4:10. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Sharon Sweeta has a reckless record. She can't seem to manage her own money. Sweeta is in debt to more than 14 creditors, and it's not the first time. Sweeta has been sued at least 16 times and ordered by courts to pay nearly $500,000 in civil judgments. If that's not bad enough, Sharon Sweeta's been targeted for foreclosure 3 times, even failing to pay her own state and federal taxes. Now, Sweeta wants to take that reckless record to the state Senate. Sweeta can't even manage her own money. She has no business managing ours. It's no wonder Sweeta is taking thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from radical activist groups. They're bankrolling her campaign, and Sweeta's pushing their extreme agenda. Higher taxes, more government spending, and open borders to illegal immigration. 14 creditors, 16 lawsuits, civil judgments, foreclosures, and a radical agenda. We just can't afford Sharon Sweeta in the state Senate.
Paid for by RSCC.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930. Let's break it down. Overnight, warm. Low near 67. Wednesday, clouds and sunshine. Maybe an afternoon shower. Back to the 80s.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Stocks have struggled to find direction much of the day. Near the Wall Street close, the Dow Industrials are down 23 points, the S&P is down a point, but the NASDAQ is up 10. Shares of American Airlines Group are taking a big hit today after the carrier said its fuel costs were higher than it previously expected in the last quarter, and it detailed the impact from Hurricane Florence last month on the carrier. American Airlines shares have sunk to a 2-year low, down 6% today. Microsoft says it has launched an effort aimed at providing more choices to play games without being locked to a particular device.
The Project xCloud Streaming Initiative, according to the software giant, is about providing gamers, whether they prefer console or PC, new choices in when and where they play, while giving mobile-only players access to worlds, characters, and immersive stories they haven't been able to experience previously. As for oil futures, November crude rose 67 cents to $74.96 a barrel. That's your money now.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat.